This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you season two of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
We know who runs the route, but now it's time.
But now it's time to dive into the guys throwing the ball.
Welcome to QB Class,
presented by Reception Perception. Here's your host,
Zach Miller and Derek Klassen.
What's up, everybody? Back for another episode of the QB Class Show. I'm Zach Miller here with Derek Klassen of Reception Perception and of Bleacher Report. Happy to have you here, Derek. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing really good. This is, I feel like we've been hinting at this episode for like a month now. So I'm very excited to finally be here.
We're happy to wade through the waters. Neither of us were especially riveted by Bo Nix or Michael Penix. So we've been kind of waiting to get to this show. And it's here. We're going to go over Spencer Rattler today. Probably going to be one of our funnest episodes. Also just one of our more intriguing episodes because he's just a super intriguing kind of prospect.
Yeah, he's kind of all over the board. I mean, I think everything about him on the field and off the field has been a complete roller coaster basically since he put a foot in between the lines at Oklahoma. So I don't know. He's one of those prospects where almost in the same sense that like because JJ McCarthy has done so little, you can see whatever you want in him. It's almost like Rattler has done so much and seen so much that you can kind of see whatever you want in him. Like you've seen him be the worst quarterback ever and the best quarterback ever. So kind of just matters about where you fall in line with that.
Yeah. Backstory, if you're listening to this and you don't pay attention to college football, Spencer Rattler was super, super highly scouted recruit, went to Oklahoma, was a Heisman favorite at one point in time. And then was benched about five games in for Caleb Williams after some egregious, in my opinion, booing in the middle of a game at an undefeated team. Crazy. I didn't know that until I was really looking through the film. But yeah, he was benched for Caleb Williams. That whole kind of season for Oklahoma was really weird. Lincoln Riley ended up leaving. He was the coach there, had a weird transfer. And then Spencer Rattler had a weird transfer leaving. And that's how he ended up with South Carolina, which is where you see most of his draft film come from because that was most of his throws and playing time. But a lot of off the field stuff with Rattler, not really worth diving into because realistically, I think there's not much there. It's a lot of speculation. When you look at off the field stuff with Rattler, like he had some suspension stuff. There was some heat between him and Lincoln Riley. It's so hard to know what's going on behind the scenes there. And you know what? Honestly, there's plenty to talk about with him as like an actual player that we don't have to get into storylining with Rattler. There's real things we need to talk about with him. And I'm intrigued to hear your opinion because my thoughts on Rattler through his film evaluation and looking at your charting are so scattered. And I admittedly have not done this as long as you. Most of my focus has been on wide receivers at my time here. So I do really think this is going to be helpful for me as an individual, just selfishly get the listeners aside. Like I'm interested to hear what you have to say about Spencer Rattler. So give me just kind of a brief overview of your thoughts.
Yeah. So I'm going to push the charting to the side for a moment here. My like general guideline for quarterbacking and like the best quarterbacks are obviously you have to start with arm talent. You need to be able to make every throw with velocity, have that like loose, elastic throwing motion. It's why everybody loves Caleb. It's why everybody thinks Mahomes is like the thing that you need to be chasing. Okay, Rattler checks that box. The other one for me is pocket toughness, like being able to, you know, firm base, slide around in the pocket with your eyes up, like be willing and capable of making throws in tight pockets, understanding you're going to get hit, remain aggressive, all that sort of stuff. It's why I've talked about loving Drake May. It's why I think Caleb Williams is, you know, fantastic. They have that. Spencer Rattler has that. Like he has those two, my two guiding principles for quarterback play. He checks both boxes. And so it's really, really hard for me to even look at some of the other, you know, maybe inconsistencies in his game or some of the off field stuff and like push him away, because he just falls right into the two things that I value most at quarterback. So he's a really frustrating prospect in the sense of like, yes, I know he's not complete, I know he's not perfect, but he has those two things. And I think if you have those two things, it kind of gives you, it kind of almost gives you like the leeway or insurance from teams there where they want to invest in that, because they know those are two cornerstone traits. And if you have those, teams, I think, will be a little bit more willing to be like, okay, we can maybe iron out your decision making a little bit, or your footwork, or maybe we can get you to rein it in a little bit and not just like chuck 50-50 balls randomly, like that sort of stuff. When you have those two traits, I don't know, man, it's really easy for me to buy in. And I think truthfully, he checks those two boxes better than Jaden Daniels does, better than JJ McCarthy does, better than either Bo Nix or Michael Penix does. So to me, I don't know. I still waffle a little bit where exactly I want to rank him, but he's, I think, purely from a throwing perspective, closer to guys like Drake and Caleb than people realize.
Yeah. Arm talent. If we're just speaking arm talent, like watching tape, where you can get the ball on the field, I think he is competing with Drake May. Like, I think Caleb probably unquestionably has the best arm talent of this class, just because not only can he throw the ball anywhere on the field, he can do it accurately. You start getting into the accurately question when you're talking about Spencer Rattler's arm talent. Like, he can get the ball anywhere on the field, which is what I'm like, yeah. Fully agree with you. He has that arm talent where I'm like, he can throw the ball anywhere better than all of these other quarterbacks that we've talked about, except for maybe Drake May and Caleb Williams. And like you said, intangibles, like he is a quarterback prospect that you look for. Like if you were just like, he came out of high school, super high recruit, came into Oklahoma, like he has everything you're looking for in a quarterback. That's not the problem with Spencer Rattler at all. If you were just to say like, hey, traits, does he have them? Yeah. South Carolina had a horrendous offensive line. They had 10. God. Yeah, it was terrible. Watching it, like, you feel bad for him. But, like, there are a lot of times I don't feel like, I'm like, yeah, you're playing football. Like, you're going to get, I felt bad for Spencer Rattler behind that line. They had, I think Nate Tice brought this one up in the Athletic show too, but they had 10 different offensive line configurations in 12 games. That's not good. That's really bad.
In the SEC, where like those front fours will get after you. Like, it's not like this is like, I don't know, like some
this is the Mountain G5 West here.
Conference. Yeah, it's not some G5 conference where it's like, I'm better than these guys anyway. It's like, no, a lot of these guys he was facing are gonna be top 50 picks.
No, it was really insane to watch. And as you're watching him in these like pockets that are just collapsing. My by far my favorite trait about Spencer Rattler, I like set aside arm talent, set aside any like pocket management. He has incredible self-confidence, just incredible self-confidence to be able to like, he is standing back there unfazed week in, week out. It doesn't matter if he's getting six man blitzed and only three of them get blocked. Doesn't seem to bother him. He is going to stand there. He's going to do his best to make that throw to get out of the pocket, and there's some questions there in terms of it, but just talking self-confidence, he has so much.
And I think you have to, and I think this is actually part of, so I'll kind of segue this into the charting a little bit. Spencer Rattler's accuracy, his overall adjusted accuracy, it's not good. 66.1%. It is the worst in the class, just barely under Michael Penix. However, I think there are like a billion compounding factors as to why this is. First of all, he was playing in like a mediocre to bad SEC team. And when you're in that environment, it's just naturally, I think it'd be a lot harder to produce because you're playing against the best talent on a team that is consistently outgunned. I've said similar things about Caleb and Drake May as well, where they're just kind of outgunned every week. I think it's a little bit even different when you're in the SEC. He also had a class high 32% pressure rate. 32% of his passes we're under pressure. That is a lot, man. Like, even if you're good under pressure, and he was okay for how much he was pressured, but even if you were good, like, you're just naturally going to be less accurate on the whole when a third of your passes are under pressure. And I really don't think a lot of those are his fault. I mean, we both said it. That offensive line was disgusting. They were constantly rotating players in and out. There are plenty of examples on tape where, okay, if they rush five or six, someone is free. If they rush three, okay, somehow somebody's breaking through, even though you have a 5-3 advantage. Like, it just, no matter what South Carolina did up front, it seemed like there was always an issue. And I think that was something that he consistently had to deal with. Another thing is, like, this South Carolina passing game was, relative to other college offenses, like, pretty NFL-ish and, like, very real. Like, they did some under center play action stuff. Like, even their dropback game was, like, closer to an NFL dropback game than probably anyone else here than maybe, like, you know, what Michigan was doing. I think Michigan kind of had some of that, maybe to an extent Washington, but, like, he was being asked to make very real reads and throws from, again, pockets that were collapsing on him a third of the time. And then the other little note is, Rattler threw away about 6% of his passes, which is a lot. And that's going to just naturally ruin your accuracy in a lot of ways, because, I mean, 6% of your throws have literally zero chance of being accurate. That's really tough to live with. But I actually think when I am, like, not in the charting mindset, like, when I'm just watching a player, I think more often than not, guys who understand how to throw away and understand the maturity of, like, get to the next down, especially for a guy like Rattler, if you remember when he was playing at Oklahoma, did not have that in his bag. He was going to finish the play and do something stupid by the end of it. He just doesn't do that anymore. And I actually think the growth in that sense is more valuable to me than, like, damaging when I look at what it does to his accuracy charting, if that makes sense. So yeah. this might all sound like cope, but I really think there is a lot that goes into, like, why his overall accuracy number looks and feels worse than it actually is watching him play.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Yeah, and let's not, like, also, I know you're, like, worried about cope. Don't worry, we're not going to be sugarcoating everything here. I have some real issues with his gameplay as well. I think by the end of this episode, I'll admittedly be a little lower on Rattler than you. But that's okay. That's okay. One thing I do want to talk about when you're talking about his accuracy, and I agree with you on a lot of those. It's hard to be like, yes, let's throw out the charting profile, which we're not doing. There are reasons for his accuracy to be so low in certain situations. But there are also, like, reasons that there are times that he is just inaccurate. My biggest pet peeve with Rattler's profile is he loves to throw off his back foot. He loves to throw off his back foot. And it's frustrating that I feel, I think, like, what I would sum up my issues with Rattler to be are, he plays like he's a better quarterback or a better athlete. Like, he's a really good, like, he has all of the tools to be a great quarterback, and playing within his means, I think, would make him questionably a first round prospect in this class if he played the type of quarterback play that he is physically capable of. But when you're watching him play, he thinks he is, and you have a term for this that I love, it's just like the Baker Mayfield problem, where he thinks he's a much better athlete than he is. And you kind of see that littered across Rattler's play, where he'll he'll do the almost like a Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen thing where you're fading back off your back foot and you try and rifle a ball 40 yards down the field. To pull that off, one, you need to have an absolute cannon, and he has really great arm talent. And two, even those guys probably shouldn't be throwing that ball in the NFL. And you see it across his film where he's unbalanced off of his back foot, fading away, and he will still try and get that throw in. And it's a dangerous ball. And that's one of his knocks on the profile, is that he does create some turnover worthy plays, definitely at Oklahoma, less at South Carolina, but it's still on his tape. And that I think is one of the things that, even if I'm looking at, hey, we can forgive some of your offensive line for this, we can forgive some of the offense for this, that I think is a personal knock on his game that I have. What do you think on terms of that line?
To me, the throwing one is complicated, because I don't think it's that he can't do it. I think his arm is like every bit as talented as the guys who can. It's a matter of like, how many times should you be doing this? Like, I don't know. Like, he probably tries to do that like two or three times more than he ever should in a given game. And again, I kind of respect it. Like, I understand the aggression, but at a certain point, you probably need to understand that that's going to be more detrimental, especially in the NFL. At the same time, there's a part of me that like almost empathizes with, like, okay, aggressive quarterback on a bad team wants to do everything he can to make sure his team can win. There is a part of me that empathizes with that, because it's like, it's why I appreciate Caleb. It's why I appreciate Drake. These are guys who want to go out and win the game. And yes, when it goes bad, it looks completely stupid and like they've made the worst throw of their life. But I think I would still rather have the guy who does that than the guy who is like too scared to ever make that play. Maybe that means he just ends up Jay Cutler and he still just does that forever, like too much. But I was kind of a Jay Cutler apologist. So like, I don't, you know what, like this just falls into the way that I like to view the position. So I think that I don't mind as much. The athleticism part where he tries to do the scrambling, that is more concerning to me. Because yeah, I've said it before, it's the Baker Mayfield thing. Like Baker Mayfield at the college level was an above average athlete at the position. Like he could scramble a little bit, he could move around, he could make a guy miss or two, he could maybe pull away just barely. I think that's what you see with Spencer Rattler, where it's like, okay, he's never really overwhelming, he can kind of scramble every now and then, like maybe once a game you're like, ooh, that looks kind of good, that looks like, you know, pretty tasty. But I think at the NFL level, when athletes are, you know, 10-15% better, whatever you want to say, I think he's going to get run down outside the pocket a lot more than he does at South Carolina. And for a guy who played outside the pocket about 20% of the time in his charting sample, that's really concerning. And I do think that the, like, part of that is just the offensive line was so bad, so he was forced to go outside the pocket. I don't think he's the guy who naturally looks to leave and run and all that sort of stuff. But I think you're just naturally going to get forced into that to some degree in the NFL. And I worry about his ability to separate and keep himself clean outside the pocket in the NFL. And I really don't think he's going to be the kind of scrambler that he was in college. So I think when you take away that part of his game and make him, you know, almost force him to be more of a pocket passer the way that Baker Mayfield has had to become, I think there's going to be a lot of, like, you know, kind of a learning curve, and he's going to need to grow and understand how to play that way. The same way that Baker did. Like, Baker had to learn, like, he doesn't really do the runaround stuff in Tampa anymore. Like, not nearly to the degree that he did in Cleveland. And I think that was just something he had to learn and understand about how the game has changed for him.
Yeah, and let's be, like, clear in my opinion here. It's not that he's a bad scrambler. Like, I think vertically running, he is perfectly capable as an athlete. Mm-hmm. Like, you see him do some of the Mahomesian things where it's like he'll kind of have some moves when you're running a straight line. Like, he can get to the first down, he can shake a bake. For me, it's the horizontal. Like you're saying, like, the out of pocket. Like, he doesn't have the straight line horizontal speed to be outrunning these edge rushers. That's where you see him get caught up a little bit, where he's run out of the pocket. I think scrambling forward down the field, he'll still be okay. Like, he can make a guy miss or two, get those extra yardage. I don't see that being a huge issue with it. And you talked about it before, like, having a better O-line will be something that's great. His pocket presence is really good. That's not the issue when you terms of, like, out, like, oh, he thinks he's a better athlete. Like, Yeah, of course, he's not as quick as like a Watson was when you saw him coming out of Clemson. He doesn't have that crazy escapability, but he knows when to step up. He knows when to move. Yes. And that's come from having a bad offensive line. Like he, to be able to survive these downs in South Carolina, like he needs to know when to do that. And you see it a lot on his tape where he is stepping up, creating a new pocket, resetting the pocket. And specifically, I want to bring up his red zone stuff. I think that's where you see where we were talking about before, where it's like, hey, he's making these hero ball throws. Like he shouldn't be throwing off his back foot. He cleans that up in the red zone, which I think is really impressive. His third down conversion rate is the worst in this class when it comes to success rate. He had a 61.03 success rate on third down. That was to me where you see a lot of like the hero ball where he's like, I need to make this for my team, or like something is like, we're not going to get the ball back or they're going to score twice. Like, I don't trust it. But to your credit, where you were like, I think that is a choice. He doesn't do that in the red zone. You see him play a very different game where he had one of our highest marks of the class in red zone success rate at 72.3%. He wasn't in the red zone as often as some of these other guys, so the sample size is a little smaller, but you also see it on tape where I feel like he just innately made some better decisions in the 20 that you weren't seeing him make on those third, fourth down plays previously on the game. And I think that speaks a lot to what you're saying, where it's like these were decisions he's had to make because you see him when it mattered getting in the red zone. He cleaned it up. He looked like a little bit of a different player to me. He's not making those like, I'm just going to fade it off the back foot to my receiver. He's resetting the pocket. He's making good decisions. It's like you see those flashes of like, this is could be a really good quarterback.
It's almost like because the field is condensed, he can't do the I'm going to throw 30 yards off my back foot. Like there's not room to do it. So it just takes that glove out of his bag. Like he just doesn't have his driver. And it almost makes him a better player in some sense. But I do think he has a lot of really good red zone traits, because I think one, he is a quarterback who can, I think, operate pretty quickly and get the ball out really quickly. The instant he realizes the ball needs to be out, like he's a very quick, explosive, snappy thrower. I think in the red zone, when windows are tighter and things are happening faster, that's a really valuable trait to have. Obviously, he has the velocity to fit all these tight windows in the red zone. And then there is a bit of like in the red zone, like you got to be aggressive and like kind of creative to a degree. And I think Rattler very much has that. So he's able to find those, like, because again, when things get condensed in the red zone, like plays aren't going to play out the way, like coverages don't necessarily play out the way that they would if you're on the 50 and there's a ton of room, there's a ton of air for the concept to breathe. Like at a certain point, red zone stuff kind of just becomes like, I got to jam it in there and pray. And I think Rattler's it does a pretty good job of finding chances to do that.
We talked a little bit about how you were like, oh, he's almost the reverse JJ McCarthy in terms of what you see. Like he has so much on the field. When I was looking at his profile, I was like, this is the reverse Jaden Daniels. He is really good at throwing over the middle of the field. He's really good at being like a creative passer. Like you're talking about, like in the red zone, like you have to be that creative passer. He is. There's no part of you that can say Spencer Rattler is not a creative passer. He can do it. But like looking at his profile, I was like, he is the exact opposite of Jaden Daniels. Like Jaden Daniels is a timing passer, can put touch on the ball, runs a really good offense with a really clean pocket. And he was like, switch to the other side of the field. Spencer Rattler never has a clean pocket, not a good offense, throws across the middle of the field, has the arm talent Jaden Daniels doesn't have. But the last knock I had on his profile was his timing. I felt like a lot of times on his timing passes, he almost had the Desmond Ridder-ish late to the throw, to where I feel like when he's gunning it, when he's like really putting juice on the ball on those curls and dig routes, when you see like setting in the zone, he's getting the ball there. But his timing passes, a lot of times I felt like they were underthrown or late. It was like he's got the receiver, he's making that pass, but like just a second or two too late, which is probably the last knock I have on his profile from my watching and looking at his data too. I feel like that kind of shows up when you look at the like 10 to 20 yard field, his left and right success rates from 10 to 20 were below average. A lot of that to me was where I saw his timing passes. He didn't have a ton of those in the short area and a ton of them on the deep field, but those out routes, those like timing corners in between the zone coverages, it seems to me like that's where he struggled the most in his charting profile. But I didn't see it a ton in the offense. So I'm wondering if that's a sample size thing or if you saw that as a consistent issue as well.
I would want to talk to him about this, truthfully, because I think really the issue let's get him on the show. The issue to me is not really like, can he throw with timing? I think there are instances, and even I think when we do the video show, there's a clip I have that where he's throwing like quick game with really impressive timing and really impressive location. I think he can do it. I think just because of the environment of the offense, I think there are games and there are drives where he kind of lost faith in like the structure of the offense and kind of just ended up a little bit later or was maybe making, you know, moving his eyes to places they ought not be just because he was like, screw it, I need to get to Xavier Legette. Like, it just, I think there were certain moments where he was just like, I'm just going to get to my guy. It doesn't matter if I'm late. It doesn't matter if he's not open, like all that sort of stuff. So I think that would be the bigger issue to me is I would just really want to talk to him and understand why that is, because like I said, I think there are instances where he does it really, really well, where he's throwing with timing, rhythm is 1-2-3 balls out. But to your point, there are these instances, there are these drives. I think especially later in some of those games where they've been, you know, down 2 touchdowns for a majority of it, where at a certain point he's just like, I can't do it like this anymore. Like, I just got to do whatever I feel is right. And I think that's where he can run into a little bit of trouble.
Well, let's talk about what you think will make him a successful quarterback in the NFL. If he's going to have NFL success, what is it going to look like and what kind of scheme fit do you see for that?
I would absolutely love to see him with the Rams, but behind Matthew Stafford, because I think he has a lot of the Matthew Stafford-esque, like a lot of the things that make Matthew Stafford great are elite arm talent, elite ability to like kind of move your arm slots and arm angles and be creative with that. Matthew Stafford is obviously unbelievably tough and almost stubborn in the pocket in terms of like the hits that he's willing to take and how long he's able to hang in there. I think Rattler has a lot of that to him. And then I think when you just think about a lot of the throws that they like to make, I mean, Spencer Rattler, you know, to the point you mentioned earlier, middle of the field, 11 to 20 yards, 30 of 38, 79% success rate. That is by far the best in the class. And those to me are big boy throws. And there are a lot of those throws in the Sean McVay Rams offense. And you see Matthew Stafford throw them every week. So that to me would be kind of like what I envision the best case scenario for Rattler being, where he just gets a year or two behind one of these other really aggressive quarterbacks. And gets into an offense that is going to trust him to handle aggressive drop back and just throw over the middle of the field a lot like that. I think that to me is like the ideal how things work out. Obviously, I don't think he would be as good as Matthew Stafford, but I think if everything turns out right and like, you know, none of the off-field stuff with him becomes a problem or whatever, like this can, I think, very comfortably be a top half of the league quarterback.
Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up question here that I think will be, as much as I still think I'm a touch lower on Rattler, because he just scares me a little bit.
I don't blame you.
I think we're both on the same page that once you get past JJ McCarthy, if you are drafting, neither of us think any of the Bo Nix or Michael Penix are first round prospects. If you're in the second or third and you are drafting to find a guy that has top 15 upside, it's Rattler. It's not one of those other two. It's him.
100%. And like, I'm sure with the arm talent with Penix, you could probably sell yourself on it in like a very specific 2020 bucks type of way if you can build that perfect offense. But with Rattler, I think there's a little bit more flexibility to how he would be able to function as a passer in the NFL if everything goes right. And then yeah, just like, I don't know, man, that type of arm talent, that type of creativity, that toughness in the pocket, you just don't see that from the other two. You just don't.
No. And the willingness I think teams are going to be to take a risk on Rattler is he did show development from 2020 to 2023. He's a very different player. He still made turnover worthy plays. They were still on his film, but he cut it down. He clearly matured, clearly made better decisions. He definitely had a lot of growth in college, and that's going to be huge when you're talking about NFL teams willing to take a risk on a guy that doesn't have necessarily like a winning success rate in college. Like, they were not a very winning team. He has mistakes on it, but his game is very loose. He translates well to a modern NFL, being able to throw across the middle in an offense where you're offensive line is breaking down on your 6 foot one is a really good trait to have. Being able to still be successful like that, that's something I think coaches are going to see in the NFL and really like. Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. If you're going to talk about one of these guys, if let's say like I do more fantasy football stuff, I know you don't have a hand on that, but if I'm looking at a fantasy draft and I'm trying to pick which quarterback between Bo Nix, Michael Penix, and Rattler, I think is going to have a possibility to have like a Dak Prescott type, hey, this is a third round pick. Well, I don't know if Rattler goes that late, but a guy that turns into like a plus starter quarterback, I see the future with him in that role, where I don't really see it with these other guys, barring like the perfect offensive system.
I think that's exactly the way to put it. Like I said, I think there's more flexibility with the avenues that Rattler could get to good. Whereas like, yeah, with Penix, I mentioned you kind of need that perfect 2020 Bucks offense. And then with Knicks, it would be like, if he got with like Shane Steichen, that would be cool. But like, they have an Anthony Richardson, so I think they're good there. You know what I mean? Like, he would need a very narrow set of things for him to be able to work out. So yeah, I think of this group, I would prefer Rattler, just because the upside I think is so insane. And really, again, because we don't really know a whole lot about the off-field stuff, I think just purely what I think about them as players, I even think Rattler's floor is significantly higher than Penix's, and probably about as good as Bo Nix.
What kind of draft grade do you have on him then? Because I'm curious, because I think you had Penix in the fourth round grade on him, which is low, but I feel like a lot of people have him as a third round grade when you talk to like analysis in the industry. Analysis, that's not a word. Analysts in the industry. What does your grade come out to on Rattler?
I have like a mid to high third round grade on him. And part of that is baking in the like uncertainty of the off-field stuff. I think if I was purely grading him on what he was as a player, it would be closer to like a top 50 grade. But again, I think there is some reason to be dubious of some of the off-field stuff, just because it's hard to know. It's hard to know.
I think he's going in the high second.
Oh, I think he will go. Yeah. Oh, I think he will. Like, listen, if Drew Lock could go like 42nd yeah, or 39 or whatever it was, like Rattler is going in that range. Like it's happening.
Yeah. I just see like one of these early second round teams, the Raiders, I think are a very good like fit, not necessarily schematically, but just like Antonio Pierce values a lot of that. Like I can work with players like they are high athletes. You talked about this a long time ago, but it was actually, again, watching the film, I think you were spot on here. Pittsburgh would have been such a great landing spot for Rattler. It just would have been such a really good fit of both like coaching, environment, like scheme, like everything you could have wanted for Rattler to be like, this is the spot where the lottery ticket has the best chance of paying off. I think you were so spot on with that.
That would have been so much fun, man. But yeah, I think they're probably not going to add a third quarterback that might start to the room. I think that might get a little testy. But yeah, 2 months ago, before all that stuff went down, I thought that would have been pretty delightful.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning into this show. If you want to check out Rattler's profile, it is super interesting. Derek's going to have a full write-up on the site, as well as all the other quarterbacks. NFL draft is around the corner, so make sure you're researching those if you just want to see who your team's got. If you got rookie drafts coming up, take a look at all those. Matt has all of his receivers. If you want to see some film breakdown, we're going to be doing that on the YouTube channel. We just passed 10,000 subscribers there. So if you like what's going on, go hit a subscribe there. Go get a like. And thank you for listening. We'll see y'all next week.